The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis 50 years ago. WPSU's Christine Allen brings us memories of that day from residents of central and northern Pennsylvania.
I grew up in the same neighborhood as Martin Luther King. He was a wonderful man and a wonderful father. He had four or five kids, and they all adored him.
Margie Payne of State College says the King family wanted her to babysit for those kids, but her family wouldn't let her. They thought it was too dangerous because of the threats against King from those who opposed his work for civil rights.
He was in a lot of trouble even in his early years, and they burned crosses in his yard in my neighborhood.
During his last speech in Memphis on the eve of his death, King knew the danger well.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will.
The next day, April 4th, 1968, King was shot and killed on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis.
And the news hit us like a thunderbolt.
Livingston Alexander is president of the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford. He was in a Catholic seminary in Delaware at the time, where they heard the news just after dinner.
Dr. King represented our hopes and our dreams for the future because no one had really opened up the possibility that there could be justice in the country.
We were having a meeting about registering people to vote, and we were in Harlem.
Charles Dumas of State College is a professional actor and theater professor emeritus from Penn State. He was active in the civil rights movement in 1968. He had gone to the March on Washington in 1963. And Dumas was in New York working with civil rights activists when King died.
I can't describe how despairing it was. There were people walking down the street crying. I heard screams just as people found out. And then the anger came. I mean, with the despair came a lot of anger. Windows were broken. Later there were fires set. It was a very, very bad time. And I spent a lot of time behind a wall of tears.
Dumas' wife, Jo Dumas, is an associate professor in Penn State's College of Communications. She had not yet met her future husband in 1968, but she was also in New York on the day Dr. King was killed.
I was in the shower with my radio, and I was listening, and I heard the news, and there was... I couldn't believe it. There was water pouring down my, because I was in the shower. And I just, this endless stream of tears. He was a minister. He was someone who had only done good. And the idea that the venom and anger could have led to his death was absolutely devastating. And as a young person, I was really transformed in that moment.
Diana Griffith of Rebersburg says her life was also transformed by Dr. King, although she was just 9 years old the night he died.
And I was upstairs in the living room with my parents when my brothers, who had been watching television, ran up the steps frantically and said, "Mom, Dad, Martin Luther King has been shot and killed." And my parents immediately started to cry.
At that young age, Griffith didn't know who King was. Her parents explained he was a civil rights leader they admired, that they had marched with him in the March on Washington in 1963 and had heard him speak at the Lincoln Memorial. Griffith went to the library and read everything she could about Dr. King.
Because I was so moved by what my parents had told me about him. And from that day on, this man who had been introduced at the March on Washington as the moral leader of our nation became the inspiration for my life, and his teachings have guided my life from that day forward.
Tom Poole, Vice President for Administration at Penn State, is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. At Colgate Rochester Divinity School, he had a professor who had also taught Dr. King, Kenneth L. Smith.
And he had been one of Dr. King's ethics professors in seminary. I just couldn't get enough of this guy. I took every class he offered.
Poole was a sophomore in high school when King was shot. He He was a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the Pirates, he remembers, had more black players than any other team in Major League Baseball. After King's assassination, they did not want to play their first game of the season.
I think the season was supposed to start on a Monday or something, and Dr. King was being buried on Tuesday. But the Pirates said they're not going to play. Black and white players stood together and said they were not going to play the games.
I remember the fear, the pain, the anger.
Tony Leach of Penn State's music faculty was also in high school at the time in suburban Maryland. He remembers the rioting in D.C. after King's death.
So the National Guard had checkpoints all around. As you were leaving D.C. to go into Maryland or to go into Virginia, you had to go through a checkpoint. We also had a 10 p.m. curfew.
Leach also remembers a visit he made with the African-American music choir he founded, Penn State's Essence of Joy, to the old Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, which is now a museum in memory of Dr. King.
And that was a very emotional moment for the choir. Here we are, this choir that looks like Penn State. We're not totally African-American. We're not totally majority. It's all of us together.
Decades before Essence of Joy made their visit to the old church, Margie Payne, King's neighbor, was there. She attended King's funeral, devastated by his death.
I lost control. I knew him. It really hurt. I went to the funeral. It was so full that I had to wait outside where they had microphones so you could hear.
Martin Luther King Jr. was gone, but his words would not be forgotten.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
And it's not just King's words that live on. It's his DNA, too.
I have a dream that enough is enough, and that this should be a gun-free world, period.
That's King's granddaughter, 9-year-old Yolanda Renee King, speaking at the recent March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. I'm Christine Allen, WPSU.